We are in Psalm chapter 66 today, verses 16 through 20. Today's message is, all of these messages in this stretch of the series are probably a little more topical than sometimes. Today's maybe especially. So this passage certainly talks about prayer, as we'll see, but we're going to look at some others as well this morning. This is God's word to you and me today. And I would say it's God's word to you and me, along with the other passages that we're going to read and look at today also. Come and hear, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and has heard my prayer. Praise be to God, who has not rejected me, not rejected my prayer, or withheld his love from me. Heavenly Father, even as we read of prayer here right now, we turn to you in prayer. We pray, God, that you would speak to us in this message, that you'd open our hearts up to what it means to be in relationship with you, to communicate with you, to listen to you. So God, speak to us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we do come to a facet of our faith that is maybe, the Holy Spirit would certainly be up there in this category too, but prayer may be the most, or one, certainly one of the most mysterious, and I think maybe misunderstood aspects of the Christian faith, and that is prayer. That's what we're looking at today. We pray, at least in part, because we believe that God is good and he cares about us, and that is the a statement of belief that we looked at and talked about and affirmed back in week two of the first part of this series. And here we are in week two of the second part. And so there's some correlation here. And so if God is good and if God cares about us, then it stands to reason that we would want to be in relationship with God. And the way we maintain the relationship, or one of the main ways, I should probably say, that we maintain that relationship is through prayer. And that's what we'll be looking at today as we continue part two of belief. Because of who God is and what he's done for us, we can say this about prayer. I pray to God to know him, to find direction in my life, and to lay my requests before him. If you were to ask people what they think prayer is, and we were to just even take a poll in here, and we won't do that, but if you were to ask people what they think prayer is, most people would probably focus, at least initially, on the last phrase of that statement, to lay my requests before him. Jesus tells us to cast our burdens upon him, and boy, do we love to do that in our prayers. We're very good at praying prayers where we want God to do something for us, where we lay our requests before him. Like bedtime prayers, especially when, I don't know if you do a bedtime prayer yourself, but if you've had kids, you maybe have taught them to say a bedtime prayer before they go to bed, that God would watch over us, protect us, heal others, take away our own ailments, and so forth. Maybe you've prayed a prayer like this one. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my shape to keep. Please no wrinkles, please no bags, and please lift my backside before it sags. Please no age spots, please no gray, and as for my belly, please take it away. Please keep me healthy, please keep me young, and thank you, dear Lord, for all that you've done. And all the church said together, amen. Maybe you've prayed something along those lines, but really prayer is mostly about our relationship with God. Such as God deepening our trust in him and learning to see the world as God sees it, including our own lives, to see us as God sees us. It's listening to God. It's letting him take the lead in our lives and set the course. Prayer is where, I would suggest to you, that prayer is where the groundwork is laid for stepping out in faith. Prayer is where the groundwork is laid for living by faith. There is so much more to prayer than just making requests, which isn't to say we shouldn't do that. It does include that. God wants us to be open and honest with him in our praying, and we need to be open and honest with ourselves in our praying as well. Prayer is not the time to hide behind the rose-colored lenses through which we tend to view ourselves. Prayer is the time to take those off and be honest about who we are, about our relationship with God, about how we're living out our faith or lack thereof. I think this story, prayer is an easy one to find stories about and examples. So I came across a story of a little boy who I think sums this up about taking off our rose-colored lenses and being honest about who we are is spending time in prayer. It's about a little four-year-old boy who prayed at dinner one night. He was asked to give the blessing before the meal. So the family members all bowed their heads in expectations. He began his prayer thanking God for all of his friends, naming them one by one. Then he thanked God for mom, dad, brother, sister, grandma, grandpa, all his aunts and uncles. Then he began to thank God for the food. He gave thanks for the turkey, the dressing, the fruit salad, the cranberry sauce, the pies, the cake, even the Cool Whip. Then he paused, and everyone waited, and they waited, and they waited some more. And finally, after a long silence, the boy, little four-year-old, looked at his mother and said, "If I thank God for the broccoli, won't he know that I'm lying?" See, he knew that having an honest relationship with God and being honest about himself as well was important. No viewing broccoli through rose-colored lenses. No viewing himself through rose-colored lenses. Understanding who he is and what he really wanted. And God wants us to have an honest relationship with him. So I want to cover four things about prayer that the Bible teaches us, because we see prayer throughout the Bible. We see examples of people praying. We see actual prayers of a lot of different people. We see encouragement and teaching about prayer, like in this morning's psalm. We see encouragement about it. Jesus teaches on it. You cannot read very far in the Bible. Just open it up almost anywhere. And you can't read very far without coming to the conclusion that prayer is important. So there are four things I want to highlight for us tonight that come out of Scripture, and then a couple of encouragements about prayer towards the end of the message as well. So kind of a six-point sermon, which is a lot and more than I usually have, but it's all under the main point of prayer. Maybe the most important facet of prayer that the Bible teaches us has nothing to do with our mouths, whether that's literally or figuratively what we might say to God, but with our ears and our hearts. Prayer is first and foremost about listening to God and being sensitive to what God is impressing upon us. And the Old Testament gives us a fantastic reminder of this in Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 and 9. These are verses that every person in Jesus' day and for centuries prior and for centuries after, even today for Jewish people who still live out their faith on a regular basis, these verses became part of a prayer that they would pray every morning and every evening. And at first, they started by praying just these verses. And then over time, it began to include some other verses in other parts of the Old Testament. But it always started with this prayer, and for a while was only these verses in Deuteronomy. These are words that probably many of us are familiar with, and parts of it you may even have memorized. And the prayer that they called it was called the Shema. Just as we call the Lord's Prayer, they call this the Shema. I'll talk about that more in here in just a moment. Here are the words. There we go. I know it's a little small font, but I wanted them all on the screen at once. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." As I said, the name of the prayer, as these words from Scripture became a prayer that they would pray, the name is the Shema. Just as we have a prayer that most of us know called the Lord's Prayer, they knew this one by heart as well. And the Shema prayer gets its name from the very first Hebrew word in that verse, hear or listen. What a great reminder as they prayed this, as they thought about what the name of it was, what a great reminder about what prayer is first about. To listen. To listen to God. To hear God's voice, however that might come to you. Through scripture, through people in our lives, through the Holy Spirit, whatever. To listen to it. So these theologically rich words are what they would pray every morning when they woke up. And every evening when they went to bed. Contrast that with what an awful lot of Christians today pray every day. Dear Lord, so far I have done all right. I haven't gossiped, haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. I'm very thankful for that. However, in just a few minutes, I'm going to get out of bed. And from then on, I'm going to need a little more help. Amen. Nothing wrong with expressing gratitude for living a godly life, even for just the first couple of minutes of the day. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with asking for God's help for the rest of the day. We definitely should be doing that. But the Shema is a theologically packed prayer. Listen to God first, then teach the next generation about God. Talk about God in your house. Talk of God when you're out and about. Bind God's word to your very self. Give yourself reminders about God's word that you won't dismiss, that you won't overlook. Write his word down in places where you will see it and be reminded of it, along with those who enter your home and who enter even your city gates. What a great prayer to pray. Jesus almost certainly prayed this prayer. We can say with like 99.99% certainty that Jesus prayed this prayer. We know this because of what the culture of the day was. So Jesus would have joined in with that. Even within the Gospels, we get hints about it, though, that Jesus might have prayed this prayer as his contemporaries did. For instance, in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, we see Jesus getting up early to pray. There are many other instances of Jesus praying. We see this. He goes to lonely places for prayer. He gets away by himself and so forth. Sometimes we actually get his prayers. In the Garden of Gethsemane, his teaching on prayer with the Lord's Prayer, we're going to look at in a moment. But in Mark 1:35, we don't get the words of the prayer, but it does tell us explicitly that Jesus got up early in the morning and went to pray, to spend some time in prayer. There's a really good chance that the Shema is what he prayed, because that's when the people of his day would have prayed it. It's what they did first thing in the morning. And then later on, when a guy asked him, hey, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus quoted from this prayer as his answer. Love the Lord, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, that's from the Shema. Jesus knew those words by heart, probably because he prayed them every day. Just like every Jewish person did in the culture around him. Every morning, every evening. Maybe each of us ought to begin our days with this prayer. I wish I had a little more time this week, or made more time. I wanted to write this, have this verse typed up, just copy and paste into a document, make like 170 copies of it, and have it all here for you to take home today. But I didn't think of it till like Saturday morning, and then our day got away and so forth. But you might do that today. Take this, go home, look it up online, copy and paste it. You don't even have to spend your time typing it up. Copy and paste it into a document, and then put it up somewhere where you're going to see it every day. Maybe tape it to the ceiling above your bed, right? Just put it in large font so you can read it. You don't want to have to get up out of bed and stand there and risk falling out or something like that. Just lay there in bed, look up at the ceiling, and pray that prayer. You could tape it to your bathroom mirror. You could tape it to the wall opposite of the toilet, okay? You put it on the doorpost, the door trim of your bedroom door. So as you walk out, you might see it there every morning and pause for a moment and read these words and pray them. Somewhere, well, you will see it every morning and be reminded to pray these words. I might encourage you to consider doing this. And just as they emphasized the first word, the name of the prayers, they knew it, the Shema, let's remember to listen, to hear the Lord in our praying and in all of life. So that's the first thing that the Bible teaches us, that prayer is about listening, and we see it right in those words. A second thing the Bible teaches us about prayer comes in 1 Thessalonians. This is in the New Testament now, chapter 5, verse 17, where Paul writes that we should pray without ceasing. Clearly, prayer is important. The Greek word here is dialeptos, which means without ceasing. And it doesn't really mean without ever stopping. In other words, it's not a literal, hey, you should be praying 24/7, never stop. Like, don't sleep, just pray. Don't talk with other people, just pray. Don't think about what you're doing, just pray. That's not what Paul is saying. God wants us to communicate with him through prayer, but it's okay to talk to your neighbors and your family members and focus on projects at work and, you know, and driving safely. Like, you want to be driving safely when you're driving down the road. And maybe you should be praying then, I don't know. Maybe the people around you should be praying when you're driving, depending on how you drive, I don't know. Okay, but don't let it slide. Prayer is important. Prayer is important, what he's saying here. Don't let it become something you do occasionally. Make it regular. Make it consistent. If you're married and you only talk to your spouse occasionally, the relationship suffers. You have to communicate from talking about the family calendar to what's weighing you down to what's energizing to how your spiritual life is going, how your devotional life is going, and so forth. Similarly, we spend time in prayer with God, and it's how we communicate with him, both us to him and him to us. It's how we maintain that relationship, or it's a big part of that anyway. So pray constantly. Pray regularly. Third, the Bible teaches us how to pray, including Jesus' very specific teaching on this topic. In Luke 11, verse 1, the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. We see this in Matthew and Mark as well. They ask him how to pray. And Jesus teaches them what you and I know is the Lord's Prayer. I think we've talked about this before, but I've always thought that this was a misnamed prayer. And it's okay to say that. It's not named in the Bible. Jesus doesn't say, this is the Lord's Prayer. If he labeled it, then I wouldn't question it. It's just what we have come to call it over the centuries as Christians. And I would suggest to you it is misnamed. I think it should be called the Disciples' Prayer. This is how you and I are to pray. We're certainly not limited to these words. I'm not sure that Jesus even necessarily intended this to be prayed by Christians for all time. Their question was, how do we pray? Not what do we pray? You know, how should we pray? Give us an example. Teach us how we should pray. They didn't say, you know, what's the content of our prayer? What are the exact words we should always pray? That's not what they asked. It's a model for prayer so that the disciples can pray how Jesus does. So you and I, as disciples, can pray how Jesus does. Jesus' own prayer, what I would suggest to you we might more rightly call the Lord's Prayer, is found in John 17, where he prays for the disciples. He prays for the disciples who are with him there, the disciples who come with him later, like you and me. Okay, Jesus has prayed for you. Jesus prays for the world as well in this prayer. I think that should probably be what we might call the Lord's Prayer. Now, reality is 2,000 years of history has gone by, or one sermon, or me mentioning this a couple times in the course of a few years is not going to change the future where we're going with what we call the Lord's Prayer, probably. We're not going to change 2,000 years of history, and that's okay. I'm not out to do that. Jesus teaches us how to pray. And we get all kinds of other examples from Scripture as well. So the Bible, just to begin with, is a model for prayer. We see models throughout Scripture. So turn to your Bibles for your own help in how you might pray. Fourth, the last point here about prayer is that the Bible teaches us that God answers prayer. This does not mean that he always answers in the way that we want. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is not right now. Sometimes the answer is yes, but it's going to look a little bit different. Not going to be exactly how you'd like it. When Gwen moved to Sun Valley, Idaho, a year or year and a half after she graduated from college, she was pretty lonely her first few months. Not a lot of girls, young ladies her age who are Christians. And she was pretty lonely. And she prayed that God would bring her a friend. She wanted a woman, a young woman, someone her age who was a Christian, a believer, that she could converse with and talk about matters of faith. And about 3 or 4 months after she was there, God brought into her life me. Okay? That's just the way God answered her prayer. We want God to be a little more controllable sometimes. to answer the right way, to answer as we want. But that's not trusting God or keeping him first above all other gods. It's maybe not listening to him. If your prayers are always answered yes, as you would like them to be answered, maybe you're not listening to God's answers very well. I can assure you that if we're genuinely listening and open to God's answer to our prayers, there are going to be some no's in our praying life. In fact, when we want our will to be done, or when our prayers are always answered our way, then perhaps we're putting ourselves above God, and that's called idolatry. Let God be God. Not your will be done, but his will be done in your life. Turn to him in prayer to know him and to find direction in your life and to cast your burdens upon him. So to recap those four points, right here on the screen, go ahead and put that next slide up, I think, Tim. We've got these four here. Listen, pray frequently, continually, use your Bible in prayer, be ready for God's answers, okay? It's not just talking to God. Shema Yahweh, hear the Lord your God. Pray frequently. God wants us to keep up communication with him, to be in relationship with him, and prayer is a big way that that happens. Use the prayers of the Bible as your own prayers and look to them as examples. Use verses in scripture that aren't even explicitly prayers and incorporate them into your prayer life, that God might make something true in your life, or maybe it's something inspires you to pray for, on behalf of somebody else, or maybe it's something where you feel like God is speaking to you about something that needs some correction or direction or encouragement in your life. And then be prepared for God's answer to your prayers, recognizing that the answers you get may not be the answers that you want. It may be. It may be that God answers yes, just as you're hoping for, but it may be something else. I think it's oftentimes harder to see the answers that aren't what we want, because we're predisposed towards what we'd like, aren't we? We're biased towards that. And we might have a tendency to look for those answers. And when the answer is something else, we might say, yeah, that's not really God's answer. That's something else. I'll keep waiting for the yes that I'm looking for. So listen for God's answers in your prayer. So those are four points, biblical points about prayer. Lastly, I want to close with a couple separate points. They're still about prayer, but they're more of words of encouragement about your prayer life to encourage us to be in communication with our Heavenly Father. And the first one is that prayer does not need to be complicated. I think some people are intimidated by the idea of praying. But prayer is not rocket science. You do not have to have a theological degree. You do not have to use big words. You do not have to use complete sentences. You don't even have to use proper English. God knows what's on your heart. You can just express it to him as you feel led. God wants you to look to him and turn to him in prayer. We don't need to make more of it than it actually is. We don't need to be intimidated by it. It's like the substitute Sunday school teacher who was struggling to open this combination lock on a cabinet. She had been told the combination, there were supplies in it. She needed to get into it for the supplies, but couldn't quite remember the numbers right. Finally, she went to the pastor's office on that Sunday morning to ask for help. The pastor came into the room and began to turn the dial, went to the first number, back the other way to the other number, and then he paused for a minute. He stared blankly for a moment, and then finally he looked serenely toward heaven. His lips moved and quietly, silently, and then he looked back to the lock and quickly turned to the final number and opened the lock. And the teacher was amazed. "I'm so in awe of your faith, pastor, and the time you spend in prayer." He said, "It's really nothing. The numbers are on a piece of tape on the ceiling, right? See, right there. I just had to read the three numbers." See, you can pray. It's not rocket science. You can stay connected to God through your prayers. You can know him. You can know his plans for your life. You can lay your request at his feet too. It is not rocket science. We don't need to make this complicated. We don't need to be intimidated by it. It's like talking to anybody else in your life. It can be that simple. And then second of all, prayer does not have to be done the same way every time, or the way that you might envision it's supposed to be done, sitting still, eyes closed, head bowed. And it's a good thing, because I oftentimes pray while I'm driving, you know? Like right before I get into an accident, "Oh dear God, please, you know, help me." Okay, just kidding. I do pray when I'm driving, and I've never gotten an accident when doing so. Cruising down 405, you know, 60 miles an hour, praying, eyes closed, hands folded, it's great. God just guides the car. I'm just kidding. Eyes open, hands on the steering wheel, look what I'm doing. It's okay to be praying at that point. I've never gotten in an accident when praying. Prayer can take the place when we're doing a lot of different things. And those activities can even be an expression of our prayer. So you can do stuff while praying. A lot of people pray while watching football. You know, granted, there's some very specific prayers going on right then. It's been said that our stadiums are our largest houses of prayer on Sunday afternoons. Okay, but people pray. You can also pray while you're exercising, out for a walk, out for a run, on the elliptical, weightlifting, whatever it is that you like to do. You could be praying while you're painting or sewing or crocheting or playing an instrument. You can pray while you're in the shower or brushing your teeth. You can pray while reading your Bible. We've already talked about using a passage that you read right then as inspiration for your prayer, or listening to God's voice coming to you through his word. You can pray on your own. You can pray with others. And you know, when you pray with others, it's not like you have to have an open and just pray right through and close with amen. It's okay. Maybe somewhere in the middle of the prayer, you feel like something's on your heart you want to just ask the person about. And so you kind of break out of the prayer mode for a moment, talk to the person, say, hey, I just had this thing cross my mind. What do you think about this? It might even be something totally random. Plans later that day. I don't know. And then you go right, and then you cover that, dot that I, cross that T, and then you can go back into prayer. It's all enveloped in prayer. So you can pray with others, you know, explicitly as a prayer group or at the end of a meal. You know, we oftentimes pray at the beginning of a meal to say grace, right? Pray for the meal. Maybe at the end, after you've had conversation around the table, maybe pray about some of the things you've talked about. There are a ton of things that you can do and settings where you can be for prayer. So be encouraged in your prayer life. It's not rocket science, and you can be looking for opportunities for prayer. It's a big part of how we stay connected to God. It's not the only way, for sure, but it's a big piece of that relationship. And I hope and pray that you will spend time in prayer regularly so that you would be in close relationship with your Heavenly Father. I want to invite you to close this morning's message with this statement on prayer that I said towards the beginning as well. And I invite you to say this with me. Go ahead, Tim, and throw that up on the screen. If you feel so led and inclined and believe this to be true, would you say these words with me? I pray to God to know him, to find direction in my life, and to lay my requests before him. Gracious and holy God, right here and now, we turn to you in prayer. We pray, God, that you would speak into our lives here in this moment, throughout the rest of the day, through your word to us, through the people around us. We pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts, our ears, our lives, our souls, to hear what it is that you are saying to us. And then, Lord, we pray to know you, to know who you are, to be reminded of your love, your grace, your forgiveness, to be reminded of and to look for your leading in our lives, that we might have courage to step forth and live by faith. And Lord, we lay our requests at your feet as well. We pray for ourselves, for loved ones, for people around the globe whom we never even met. We pray that you would bring healing into people's lives, that relationships that are broken would experience reconciliation, that the good news of Jesus Christ would go forth into all the world. And right now, Lord, we pray very specifically that the offering that we give would be received by you, that you would bless it, multiply it, use it beyond what we could possibly imagine, to support and encourage the ministries of our church, that the good news of Jesus would be carried out, that people's lives would be impacted, that the missionaries that we support and other Christian nonprofits that we are in partnership with, that they would be encouraged in their work and in their ministry. And ultimately, Lord, it is our hope and our prayer that the name of Jesus would be made known far and wide, that people would turn to you in prayer just as we are right now, and be in relationship with you as our Heavenly Father, to know Jesus, your Son, as their Savior, and to be filled by your Spirit. So God, use this offering, use us, to accomplish your purposes. In Jesus' name we pray. And all the church said together, amen.